Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Michigan won its Big Ten opener, its first real test of any difficulty, by beating Maryland on Saturday. How did the Wolverines look? What did we learn that we hadn't in the non-conference? And what should we expect this week at Iowa? That and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, Aaron, good to be talking with you Sunday late night, September 25th, with listeners hearing this on Monday. I'll get right to it. How do you think Michigan looked on Saturday? Like, do you think they played well?
That's a loaded question. I think they played well in some regards. At the end of the day, I think I expected them at some point to coast to victory, and that just never happened on Saturday. I mean, they looked like they were almost to that point, but they couldn't quite get there. So I think they did some things well. I think we learned some things about both sides of the ball. But I don't know. It's so early in the year too. It's hard to tell whether this Maryland team is that good. But nonetheless, I mean, they won. They didn't win handedly, like I think many of us expected them to. But at the end of the day, I think they're going to tell you a win's a win, and a win is a win, and they're now 4-0 and moving on.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard others make this comparison, and I agree. It looked a little, in some ways, like Michigan's Big Ten opener last year, where, again, you know, their non-conference wasn't great. You know, they did have Washington on the schedule, but they turned out to be not so good. So maybe Rutgers was a step up, and Michigan looked a little sluggish and, just not quite clicking on all cylinders, but, you know, got the win. That one was tighter. That one really went down to the wire, even more so than this one did, though. In the end, they were both 7-point victories. Rutgers was undefeated at the time too. And I think you could tell yourself, maybe that Rutgers team is better than people think, just like you can for this Maryland game. It just so much was different from what we had seen the first few games. We knew it would be. Maryland scores on its first possession. The first points against Michigan in the first half this season. Maryland takes the lead in the second quarter, the first time Michigan trailed all season. And I feel like this game kind of showed that maybe we didn't learn so much in the first three games.
No. And when you think about it, this was a drastic step up in competition from what Michigan had been playing. And we talked about it a ton in the first three games. Those non-conference opponents weren't very good. And I find it hard to believe Michigan found their weaknesses in those three games. Yes, you can go back and watch the tape afterwards and pick and choose instances where, you know, a guy was out of position or miscommunication was there, or whatever the case may be. But it's different doing that against better quality competition. And Maryland was that. Now, I'm not going to go out and say Maryland's a top-tier Big Ten team, because that we'll see about that. But they are D1 athletes, and they have some skill and some talent, especially on the offensive side of the ball. It's almost like a shock. You know, you go from playing essentially practice dummies, as we joked in previous weeks, to guys that are very competent, and a team that had won. You know, they had won three games. They were successful doing it. Statistically, these two teams were about even offensively. There's growing pains. I think, fortunately for Michigan, this game came at home and on the road, because I could have seen a different result if this game had been played in College Park. But, you know, I do think the better team won out here. I mean, I think Michigan is the better team by and large. I don't think there's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think they learned some stuff about themselves. I think they needed this type of game to try and, in a way, wake them up. Because, you know, things are going to pick up here, and we'll get into it later on, but especially, this weekend when they finally hit the road.
Well, let's talk about something that leaves no doubt, and that was Blake Corum's performance. 30 carries, 243 yards, two long touchdown runs, and critical ones at that, at the end of the first half and near the end of the game, when Michigan really, really needed to score. Blowing past his career highs, no Donovan Edwards again. So Michigan had to lean on him, a lot more probably than they would have liked. But man, did he deliver.
Yeah, you're right. They had to lean on him. They had no other choice. Donovan wasn't available to them. I don't know what the deal is with Tavier Dunlap, but we didn't see him at all. He didn't get a carry. They put CJ Stokes, the true freshman, in there, and he fumbled his only carry. So it was basically Donovan or nothing here. And Michigan, they were fine throwing the ball, but I think they wanted to dominate the line of scrimmage. And I know at halftime, Jim Harbaugh's message to the team, at least according to the radio show, during the broadcast, but he said that they felt like they had an advantage up front. I think they wanted to exploit that, and that's one of the reasons why I think we saw Don or Blake so much yesterday. He was coming off his 5-touchdown game a week ago, obviously different competition. But they feel like they can do a lot with him. You know, we saw this script kind of play out last year when Michigan's, you know, they love to dominate the line of scrimmage. They wanted to run the football. And it was very much just like this, where they're giving the ball to Blake Gorm. If you recall, after the, you know, the first 4 weeks, his name had started to come up in Heisman Trophy conversations. I'm not saying that's going to be the case again this year, but if you look at the numbers, they're very similar through four games to what he did last year. So they felt like they had an advantage. They gave it to him. He ran very well, averaged, 8.1 yards per carry, which is pretty impressive.
On 30 carries? Yeah, that's something.
Yeah. Yeah, so career highs, like you said, both carries and yardage, obviously. Big game for him. I mean, I don't necessarily think they needed it from him. I think they could probably won it through the air. But I think at the end of the day, if you ask Jim Harbaugh how he'd prefer to win, it's probably in the trenches and running the football.
So, yeah, so let's talk about what they did through the air. You know, I'm thinking about J.J. McCarthy's game afterwards on my walk home. And, you know, I'm like, hey, he missed on a few deep shots. You know, overthrowing on the first two, then I think underthrowing on another one, you know, eventually did hit Ronnie Bell on a big one late in the game, you know, wasn't, you know, really effective as a runner at all. You know, there were turnovers or I guess there were, you know, there were spots where he was maybe a little loose with the ball and, you know, could have had a turnover. He wasn't the one who lost the fumble, but, you know, still, you kind of saw some of that old McCarthy. But then at the end, I look at the box score. He's 18 of 26 for 220 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. I don't know. That's pretty good if that's a bad day.
Yeah, at a quarterback rating of 165.7, which is pretty darn good. So, yeah, if you look at the box score and you hadn't watched the game, you just assumed, oh, JJ had another fantastic game. and look, he was good. He was effective. He did, again, what was asked of him. But, yeah, there were mistakes there. And I think you saw the sophomore JJ McCarthy, in a way, come out. You mentioned the questionable ball handling. You know, one of his passes was almost picked off. It seemed like he was forcing some things at times. But you also saw the good things about JJ McCarthy too, and how his legs can extend plays and he can turn nothing or something out of nothing. So, it, you know, it's the give and the take. I think it's something that Michigan's coaching staff was trying to hone in on a little bit last year. And it's probably one of the reasons why they weren't comfortable throwing him out there as the starter just yet. They wanted to kind of, beat home some of these fundamentals and, you know, some of these, you know, him just not, you know, playing sandbox football,
right?
Like sometimes you might see. So I think he's still learning. He's still growing. I think it was the learning opportunity for him. And he kind of said as much afterwards. You know, he said he didn't feel like he played his best game. You know, he accepted some of the mistakes and everything else. And I think that's kind of what you're going to hear from him. I mean, he seems like a pretty down to earth, honest kid. But yeah, stat line looks good. If you go back and review the tape, probably not his best game. But it, again, like Jim Harbaugh said afterwards, it was enough. They did enough to win the game. And I think that right now, I think they'll take it.
Again, so much those first two games, like quarterback could drop back and it's like, do I want this guy who's pretty open? This guy who's pretty open? This guy, you know, now they actually have to probably go through your reads a little bit more. And the coverage was a little better. So, yeah, I think grading him on a curve, you know, again, strong performance. What did you make of the defense? Because they struggled to get pressure for most of the game. Got it late when they needed it. And Maryland ran the ball pretty well, too. I was actually surprised they didn't run more. Yeah, so again, first major test against, you know, I think it's safe to say Maryland is an above average offense. You know, what their season will look like, how they are defensively, still question marks. But, you know, above average quarterback, you know, some NFL talent at receiver and the offensive line. Like, this is a good offense, you know, and Michigan, you know, limited them for, you know, a good chunk of the day, kept them below their season averages.
Yeah, you hit it. I think they adjusted really well. And that's something in years past, I think Michigan's defense has been very good about doing, whether it was Don Brown or Mike McDonald last year, they adjust well. They seem to play better in the second half than they do the first half. And that's certainly a testament to the coaching staff and their IQ and their ability to read what's going on. and changing things on the fly. And I think that's what you saw Saturday. They seemed a step or two slow there in the first half, you know, the first quarter, and then middle halfway through the second quarter. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like things changed toward the end of the second. You saw the interception from DJ Turner. In a way, Maryland seemed like they abandoned the run game there in the second half, and they kind of went all, they're trying to throw the ball, and they had success doing it the first half. Michigan had struggled to slow Talia. The receivers are getting open. Maryland seemed to be getting whatever they wanted there in the first half. They scored in the first three drives of the game, kind of put Michigan on its heels in a way. But yeah, they did a better job in the second half. I think they're a little bit more disciplined. Like I said, I think Jesse Minter and the staff adjusted well, changed some things they were doing. And it really slowed Maryland, and they're ineffective for the better part of the second half up until those couple of late touchdowns. I mean, they were scoreless in the third. It gave Michigan an opportunity to kind of swing momentum. Obviously, Blake Corn helped that late in the second quarter. But you saw a defense, I think, that was better in the second half than it was in the first half. And I think if you were to ask, you know, Jim Harbaugh and the coaches, about that on a daily basis, I think they prefer that. You know, you don't want to be your best in the beginning. And then tail off toward the end. And it's something, like I said, something Michigan's done a good job of. It seems like, you know, that's a good start. It probably wasn't, a great effort. When they go back and watch the film, I'm sure they're going to find some mistakes and the like. But yeah, Maryland's one of the better offenses I think you're going to see for a little bit now. With Iowa coming up and Indiana afterwards and the like, I think this is a good test. It was a good test for them. We said it coming in. I thought they passed. I don't think they get it. Certainly don't get an A. But you know, they passed well enough, I would say.
So, I mean, if you're looking for things that maybe weren't great about Michigan's performance, that again it was flawless for three games before this, what would it be? Would it be on the defensive side? Because I mean, we talked about what Corum did at the run game and how McCarthy was actually pretty good. I mean, I guess it could have been, you could say, the offensive line if you don't feel like they protected him well enough. Or was it kind of on the defense with, you know, some breakdowns? And again, like you said, the slow start.
I think what really stood out to me was kind of the sloppiness, especially offensively. I mean, the fumbles and the inability to hold on the ball. They were penalized. I'm looking at the stats right now. They only penalized one time, so I guess it's not bad. But to me, the lost footballs and the near turnovers and the like, I think are the ones that, if you're a coach or a fan, you're a little nervous about. Because as we said, they went up a step in competition, and that's when you kind of find out how good your team is. And you know, you saw them struggle a little bit. Maryland did too. I mean, they weren't perfect either. I expected some hiccups from the defense. I didn't expect them to be a flawless unit. I still think there's a lot of unknown and mystery there. I thought the secondary did okay. I thought they did a pretty good job, actually. But it wasn't perfect. But I think the fumbles and the mistakes offensively, I think, to me, were what really jumped out.
So Michigan is 4-0, 1-0 now in the Big Ten. And we'll go to Iowa, their first road game of the year. Pretty late, you know, not till October. It's going to be October by the time that game is played, to have your first road game of the year. But so be it. Now last year, this kind of around this time, Michigan's first road game, it was going to Wisconsin. And we talked about how it'd been, you know, 20 years since they'd won in Madison. And this would be, you know, such a big test for so many reasons. And Michigan won that game. Now this drought is not quite as long, but you know, it's close. Michigan has struggled in Iowa City, four straight losses. That goes back. The last win was 2005. Those four losses have been by a combined 14 points. And, you know, there have been some really good Michigan teams and just some funky things that have happened. And I know everyone thinks that all those games were at night. Only two of them were. The other two were the time slot this one will be, which is, you know, noon Eastern, 11 local. But this Iowa team is similar. They're very stingy on defense. They've allowed just 23 points through four games. That's the fewest in the country. They've yet to allow a rushing touchdown. And they're pretty inept offensively. 235 yards per game. That's by far the fewest in FBS. So I don't know. We'll talk about this game later in the week on the podcast. We'll be previewing it, you know, on MLive.com after talking to Jim Harbaugh and others tomorrow and throughout the week. But I guess early take on you know, what this game might look like for Michigan.
Yeah, you hit on the struggles in Iowa City. And I think part of that, you know, at least this year too, is you know, there's a a sense of unfamiliarity there. I mean, most of these other Big Ten towns, I mean, most of these players on the roster have been to, they played in those stadiums. They kind of know what to expect. And I don't think any of these guys have been there. It's been, like you said, the last game in Iowa City was 2016. Michigan lost the 14-13 game. And that's, you know, that's kind of what Iowa wants. I want to play that grinded out style, you know, punting game, not giving up a ton of points. And in a way, I think Michigan wouldn't mind playing that game either. But I necessarily don't think that's what this team is designed to do either. You know, this in this particular year. I mean, I think they're going to want to score points. I don't know if they're going to be able to. And we talked about last week being a test for the defense. This is going to be a test for the offense. I'm really curious to see how they respond, especially in a road environment. You know, it's one thing to play in the Big House. They've gotten to do it four times now. You know, some of these younger guys and experienced guys, first year quarterback, obviously with JJ McCarthy. I'm really curious to see what they can do on the road. Luckily for them, I think it's not a night game, so I don't think you're going to get that whole aura and that you know, that raw atmosphere compared to an 11 a.m. start local time. So I think that probably works in Michigan's favor. Nonetheless, I expect Kinnick to be packed. Again, Michigan hasn't been there in a long time, so I suspect that the Iowa fan base is going to be out. They are 3-1, and they seem to have found a pulse offensively the last few games. Granted, the competition level hasn't been necessarily great either. I mean, they beat Nevada 27-0, and then just beat Rutgers on the road 27-10. So decent win there. But, you know, the total here is set low, I think 41, 42 last I looked. So they're expecting a relatively lower scoring game compared to what Michigan has played in recent weeks, which kind of fits to how Iowa wants to play. Now, we'll see if Michigan agrees, where they follow through there. But I do think if Michigan wins Saturday, it's going to have to be because of the offense. They're going to need to put points on the board.
I mean, you're right that no one was on the team then. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. Like Chris Wormley was on that team for Michigan, you know, Jake Butt. You know, it's like guys that seem like they haven't been on Michigan in a long time. But
it's like a different era, you know.
It really is. You know, I was looking. I mean, Channing Stribling had a big interception. You know, late in that game that you thought maybe it sealed it for Michigan, but it was not meant to be. Their offense just, you know, played poorly. You know, some turnovers and but you know, Michigan has gotten turnovers. I'll be writing about this tomorrow, so I've been looking at these games. Maybe Michigan fans have no interest in revisiting it. We'll see. But like, there were two of these games of the four, Michigan intercepted the first pass thrown by Iowa and took it for a touchdown. It was like they've had big plays in their favor. They won they forced five turnovers, I think, in one of the games or four at least. And you know, still like find ways to lose. I mean, that's what it's been about, finding ways to lose more than even Iowa, you know, winning these games. But you know, we'll see. I just, my early take is that like this Michigan team is good enough that you're not going to beat it, like, you know, 13-10. Like you're gonna have to get into the high 20s, and Iowa has not shown, you know, that they can do that yet. So like, I think there's a, you know, Michigan's a double digit favorite for a reason.
I think we're going to learn a lot about this Michigan team. I think we're going to learn more this week than we did last week against Maryland. I think this Iowa team is probably built a little bit more better than Maryland's. Obviously, offensively, it's a different story, but I think the defense carries a day in Iowa City. And I think if Michigan can go in and deal with that and move the football, you know, to some success and score, I do think there's reason to believe this offense can be good, to be very good. But we'll see. They haven't faced a really elite defense yet. Iowa will be the first, and it comes on the road. So, you know, it's very similar, I think, to the Wisconsin game, unless you mentioned it. You know, how are they going to look? How are they going to fare? Are they going to show up? Are they going to keep it close? Are there going to be those moments where they come out and play and win the moment, so to speak, and go to victory? Because last year, when we talked about this in the past, but last year, the win at Wisconsin, I think, was, at least for me, the first reality that this Michigan team was different, and there's a chance that this team could be very good. If they have another performance like that Saturday in Iowa, then I think you're going to start seeing similar comparisons. I think we're going to start really believing this Michigan team can repeat. But it starts Saturday. They've got to come out and win and look good doing it. Because again, Iowa's offense ain't great, so there's no reason why Michigan can't, you know, limit them. But they got to put points on the board too.
Yes, like you said, it can just go from there. You just start stacking these performances and checking these boxes. This would be, of course, you know, the first road test. Then they go to Indiana after that. And I mean, I'm sure the talk that will be, you know, letdown game or trap game or something like that. Then the week after that, Penn State comes, a Penn State team that will very likely be 5-0. They play at home against Northwestern this week, and then they're off. So that'll be, you know, your first ranked opponent, you know, and then they're off, and then Michigan State. Like, it just, you just keep going from there. But yeah, you win this game in Iowa, and I think you can start dreaming big. Yeah, very much like, you know, after they exercise those demons in Madison, you know, around this time last year. We will have continued coverage leading up to that game in Iowa on Saturday on mlive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.